Good evening, all. It's really good to see you here. May we start with the hymn 141, 141. Christ is the Saviour of sinners. Christ is the Saviour for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Saviour of sinners, Saviour of sinners like me, shedding His blood for my ransom, this is the Saviour for me. Verse 3 says, just as I was, He received me, seeking from judgment to flee. Now there is no condemnation, this is the Saviour for me. May we rise to sing, 141.
Christ is the Saviour of sinners, Christ is the Saviour for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness, now by His grace I am free. Saviour of sinners, Saviour of sinners like me. Shedding His blood for my ransom, this is the Saviour for me.
Thank you all. For those who just arrived, welcome to this evening where we preach the good news of the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just have some notices here. So it says here to welcome all, and those that are online as well, we do welcome you. It's good to see you all. This week we have on Thursday at 7:30 our prayer meeting and Bible reading. Then a passage It will be in 1 Peter in chapter 4. So it's really good to be back at that. And for all those that are able to come, it'll be great to see you there. Next Lord's Day, God willing, at 11, there's a breaking of bread, followed at 3 of the Sunday school and the Bible class. Then at 6:30, there's a prayer meeting. And at 7, there's the gospel. And next week will be our brother, Jeffrey Johnston. So all are warmly invited, and all to God's will. So let's just pray now, and then we'll have another hymn. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we can come before thee. Oh, what a privilege it is we can come into thy presence. We who were once afar off, in our sins and in our transgressions, and yet it was of thy good love and grace towards us that Christ would come down in this world and go to a cross to die for us. We thank you that we can see of our verse that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And how wonderful that is. We see of one, the Son of God, who came into this world to seek and to save the lost. We thank thee, O Father, that as we can come here tonight, we can just come before thee and to ask thee for thy help, for thy blessing and for thy guiding tonight. For those who are here and are not yet saved, we ask you, Lord, that thou come to know of the one who is the Saviour of the world, who is the Saviour of sinners like me. We see, O Father, that Paul the Apostle would write that this is trustworthy and true, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And we do thank thee, O Father, that this is true, this is trustworthy, this is reliable, for it is of thee, O God. And we do thank thee we can come here this evening to hear the good news again. We do ask you, Lord, that you open hearts, that we see those who are here come to thee and put their trust in thee for what thou hast done for us and what thy Son has done for us upon that cross. We do ask you, Lord, for thy help, for thy blessing again, and that all will be to thy glory. And in thy name, in thy Son's name, we do pray. Amen. Let us sing the hymn 496. 496. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy, there was great and grace was free. Pardon, there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. May we just sing this hymn, stand to sing a fable.
Yes, I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Give to Jesus. Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing, oh Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Bear my burden so found liberty. Salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty God that got it back at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Oh, multiply to me, bear my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
Well, good to see you again. And if you have a Bible, then please open to a book of Acts. So this is the fifth book in the New Testament. And we'll first read from chapter 11 of Acts. We'll read from verse 19. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of a church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with a church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And may we then turn to chapter 15, a few pages over. And we'd just like to read a few verses here as well. We'll read from verse 22 of Acts in chapter 15. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their company, their own company, to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles, in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, "Ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well." And Mary, may God just bless the reading of his word. Maybe these seem strange passages, but really just come to the basics of it all, is of the Lord's work after Christ died for us, our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, and after that, as we read throughout the Acts, of those, as Christ ascended into heaven, of those that will follow Christ, and of those that will seek to live for him. And yet, the question is, what is a Christian? And as we see here, as these the apostles here in Jerusalem, as they would send greetings and this message unto the Christians out in Antioch and Cilicia, that they would say of these men, Barnabas and Paul, that they would say these men have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was younger, after I was saved, about when I was 7, I would see of what Christ has done for me, that I was a sinner, and that I needed Christ, one that we've been singing about, the Saviour of sinners like me. And yet after that, I would then read of missionaries, those that the world, like these apostles and disciples here, these Christians, the world would see them as ruining their lives, as what they could have great lives in this world, in a secular world, living out and doing great things as seen by men. And yet, what is it that these men here, and missionaries that we can hear about, of C.T. Studd, of Jim Elliot, of Eric Liddell and others, that we can see of men who have laid down their lives for this name, not their own name, not for the world, but for this name alone. As we see here, and maybe you love stories, and as this is a great story, but this is history of how the Lord has worked, of how we can see of how God has worked through these men, through the apostles, and through Peter in the first few chapters of Acts, and of how we are reading there in chapter 11. Just of how there was a man called Stephen, of how he stood up against the Jews, and of how he preached the good news of Jesus Christ, of how he would then be stoned by the Jews, by the religious leaders, and that from that there'll be this persecution, there'll be this threatening of the lives of the Christians from the religious leaders, and the religious leaders sought to imprison them or even kill them. And yet we see of how the word would go forth and be preached across the whole area of the Middle East. And then as we see of Barnabas, as he would go to Antioch, and as he would encourage them, seeing that they have turned to the Lord, they've seen that they are sinners heading towards eternity, and they needed one who is a Saviour, one that they can turn to believe in, to trust in, that they might be able to go into eternity, not to be judged under the wrath of God, where they belong, according to their sins, that the Bible says that the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And of how we can see of these men who have, and women and children, in Antioch that they've trusted and they've believed upon this gospel. And if our Barnabas would see and you'd encourage them to cleave unto the Lord, to grasp unto him, to follow him, in that we can then come to this thing that's called Christians. This is the first time that Christians were ever mentioned. It's because of this word Christian that it is the meaning of this is a follower of Christ. One who would believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has said, has done, and would follow him. And yet, as we see here, of how then we see of how Barnabas and Paul, that they would then lay down their lives, they would then seek to live for God. But why is that? I just realized that the time is going so fast, and I've already started. But never mind. I'll try and go this quickly. William Shakespeare once said in his play, Romeo and Juliet, "What is in a name?" And as we've been thinking here already tonight, of a name that has been preached, a name that people have laid down their lives to, that this name must be great. And it is great. This is the grandest, the most supreme and prominent name there is under heaven. This name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A name that shows of heritage, identity, authority. And we see in this, as we see in this phrase, in chapter 15, verse 26, the men have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can first see in this one Christ, one who has been prophesied, one who has before 2,000 years ago, from the very beginning, when we see in the Garden of Eden that God created, we see of how Adam and Eve would disobey God, that they would go against only one commandment, to not take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was one commandment. And yet they disobeyed that. They went against God. And they took of it. And we see of how God would come in justice and in righteousness to see where they were. And we would read that they were naked and ashamed. That they realized that they had sinned. That they had done wrong. And they deserved judgment. And yet we see of how in that time, God would prophesy of one who would come, the seed of a woman, who would bruise and who would beat the serpent's head, and the serpent would bruise his heel. And we see of this, this is one that's prophesied from the very start, when sin came into the world, and death by sin, because as we see of this death, is a separation from God and man. And as we see in that garden, we see that man and Eve had to be put out. They had to go away from God, to be separated from him. They can no longer dwell in the presence of God. And that is where we stand in that, not just in Adam's sin, which has come upon all men, but in our own sins, as we have disobeyed God and against his commandments, against his order, against his will. We have gone against it and wanted our own way. And so we, like Adam and Eve, we are in that place of damnation, of condemnation. Yet we see this one who has prophesied, this one that shall come, and he has come. This is the one who is Christ, for he has come in due time. The Bible says that he came at the time appointed. And yet we see this one that has come. He is from eternity past. He is from even before the beginning of this world. We would read in Micah 5, But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousand of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And this is the one that at the beginning of Matthew, perhaps you can remember the story of the wise men. And that as they would come, they would be following the star, seeking the one who is the fulfillment of this prophecy, the one who shall be ruler, the one that shall be king. They come seeking this one. And yet we see in this one that we read at the end of that prophecy, who's going forth from of old, from everlasting. That means he has no start and he has no end. He has no father or mother. And yet we see in him one who has come down to this earth. And we see in God one who is the eternal God and one that is three persons in one being, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet how we see of how the Father in his role would send forth the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And that in time appointed, we see this one that came down to this earth. And yet we see of this one who has been born of a virgin, that we read in Matthew in chapter 1 again, or not again because, but at the start of Matthew, we read of this one that has come, this one that is the Christ, the one that is chosen, the one that will come and be called Emmanuel, God with us. This is the one who is the very God. And yet he will also be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And we see of this one Jesus. As we come through this name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we've looked at Christ, now we look at Jesus, the precious name of Jesus. This is the precious one. Now we see it is the Father's Son, that as this one would grow up, that at the time appointed, as John the Baptist would be baptizing in the river of Jordan, that we see this one, Jesus, he would come and be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. This is the one that's come to be obedient unto the Father, this one who shall be righteous and faithful. And this one, that as he was baptized in that river, that as he came out, we see that the heavens were opened, and that this Holy Spirit came down as a dove upon him, and a voice came out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Do you know that this is the one who is the Son of God? This is the one that has came down to this earth, he might go to the cross for us. And this is the one that has been foretold from prophecies, many prophecies, and that are all fulfilled in the Son. And yet we see of this one who is the Saviour of sinners. He saves with authority, that as we were thinking that he is God, that he has that authority. And as the Almighty God, the Everlasting One, the Creator, the Emmanuel, he is able to save like none other. There was only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And this is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see of this one who has the authority and power to save. And amazing that it is that he is willing and able to save. He wants to save. And as he comes, we see of him in Matthew 8, who come to the outcast leper, who come to heal him, who come to the centurion who's of the Romans, the one that is against the Jews, yet he would come to this one and would know that this one had faith in him, so that his servant may be healed. We read of many that were healed and delivered from demons. We read in that same chapter of disciples as they were out in the sea, that as they were rowing, there came a mighty storm that they cannot meet against, they cannot beat against it, they cannot get to the other side. They worked and worked, and yet they got nowhere. And yet we see of this mighty storm, a mighty storm like maybe none of you have ever experienced. But we see that they knew that they were going to perish. They were in trouble. They needed help. They needed to be saved. And there was one in the back of a boat who was asleep. He was at peace. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was at the back of a boat and he was asleep. And yet, as it came to him, they asked him, to save us, for we are perishing. And as they pleaded out that cry, Lord, save us, he would come up, he'd rise up, and he would say, peace, be still. And as soon as he said that, the storm was at peace. He fulfills his word. He is the one that is able to save. And he saves in love. And greater love hath no man than this, than the man that a friend would lay down his life for his friends. He has the greatest love because God is love. We see in him that he knows you better than yourself. He knows the very hairs on the top of your head. He cares for you, and he wants you to be saved. Every single one of you, he wants you to be saved. That is why he came. He came down to this earth so that you might be saved. He came to seek and to save that which were lost, those who are helpless and hopeless. We are helpless. We are hopeless. We are like the disciples in that sea. We are striving to get to heaven. As we see in many other religions, they seek to work their way to heaven. And yet the Bible says that no works can get us to heaven. We need to come in faith for one who can save us. The one who is perfect and righteous and has done the work for us upon the cross. That he went to the cross to die for us. And we see in him that of his sacrificial love, that as God commended his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We read of him who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And yet, by his stripes, by the work that he did upon the cross, we are healed. We can be saved by this one, because he wants to save you. And he has the authority and power that as he is God, he became man. He is able to go to the cross to take the place for us. That we cannot go to the cross to pay for our own sins. We cannot pay the debt even though we owe it. Yet he paid the debt and yet he never owed it. He paid the price that we can never pay. He paved the way for us. He paid the price for us. He has done the work. And yet even more than that, we see of him who is Lord. We see of him who died upon the cross, who is buried and rose again the third day. He is victorious over death. He is able to save you from the wrath that is to come. He is able to forgive you of your sins and wash you as white as snow. We see of one that is able to declare you righteous before the Father. And we see in him who is Lord. And he should be Lord over each and every one of our lives. Because he is the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And that is why the Apostle Paul would come and to lay down his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he saw in himself that he was the worst sinner ever. That as he was seeking to do what he thought was God's will, in his religious zeal, he was fighting against God. He is persecuting the Christians. And yet God stopped him on the way to Damascus. We see of one who loved Paul. Of one who gave himself for Paul. And who stopped him in the way that Paul would just realize. And would stop for a moment. To see of one who loved him so much. Who would give himself for him. So that he might be saved. One that even while he was going against him. While he was striving against him and fighting against him, there was one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who cared for him so much that he came to him in that moment. And we see if one, that as Paul would say, that I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. May you come to this moment in your own lives to realize what Christ has done for you. To come to him and to own him as Lord and Savior of your lives. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is sure, and this is will. If you can come to Christ today, you can come to him right now, and if you believe on him with your whole heart, you will be saved. As we follow after this chapter in Acts 15, we can come to those in Acts chapter 16, and we see of one, a Philippian jailer. And as Paul and Silas were imprisoned in that jail, we can see of how Paul and Silas, they were not frightened, they were not worried, but they sung with joy. They were at peace, and they had hope because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for them, who had been buried and rose again the third day. They had this sure assurance that if they died then, they were going to go be with him for all eternity. The Philippian jailer saw that. They saw what the Lord done in that place. I said that was an earthquake, and yet no prisoners escaped. And Paul would cry out, "Stop, for we are all here." And the Philippian jailer would come to him and say, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas would say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Will you get this tonight? That you need a Savior. That you need to come to him now. You need to come to one who loved you and gave himself for you. That while this seems scary, yet there is hope and assurance and joy because of one that we'll be with for all eternity. We see, and with these words I finish, there was this man, Eric Liddell, who is called the Flying Scotsman, one who won medals in the Olympics, one who played rugby games and had the whole world to live for, and yet he laid it all down to go to China to serve the Lord. And he would say these words, "Many of us are missing something in life because we are after the second best. I put before you what I have found to be the best, one who is worthy of all our devotion, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he is the Savior for the young and for the old." And Eric Luther said, "Lord, here I am. May you come tonight, realizing that you are perishing and that you need to come to him and to cry out, 'Lord, save me.' And then to come to give yourself unto him and say, 'Lord, here I am. May we just bless the meeting now in prayer, and we'll sing a few verses of the last hymn. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we can come before thee, that we can come to know of who thou art, and to know of thy Son, whom you gave to enter this world. We think of that verse in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son." We thank thee, O Father, that you so loved the world. You so loved each and every one that is in the world. No matter how bad, how wrong they are, and yet you have loved them, that you give of your only begotten Son, that whosoever, even from the worst sinner, to the one that thinks to himself that I'm okay, and yet each one of them are going to perish. Yet we thank thee, O Father, that each one that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved and have everlasting life. We thank thee, O Father, we can come this evening, we can come to give these men and women, these boys and girls unto thee, for we realize that each one of us are sinners heading to hell, and that we need a Savior. We thank thee, O Father, that there is a Savior, and there is a Savior unto heaven whereby we must be saved by. There's one who is our Lord Jesus Christ. We do ask you, Lord, for thy blessing, for thy leading, that each one of those here that are not yet saved, they'll come to put their trust in him. And in his name we do pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. And let's just finish with I think it's 561. 561. Yeah. 5:61. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. And for time's sake, maybe we'll just sing the first verse and the chorus.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.